Pray with me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. Suppose, just suppose we had to show two forms of ID to get into church. How would you like that? How do you think that might make you feel? I don't know about you, but I wouldn't like it. And just mentioning it makes me feel kind of creepy. But, you know, church in many respects is an ID-free zone. All people. We say all people are welcome because all people are made in the image of God. Thank goodness we don't have to prove our identity to get into or out of church. But it isn't that way everywhere. You have to prove where you are in some places. And I've had my issues with identification over the years. Once, while going to Canada on business, I had forgotten my passport. And so with a little bit of questioning, they let me in. And then once while leaving Mexico, I inadvertently had thrown away my visa. And so after a whole lot of questioning in a small room and forgoing all the cash I had, I was finally allowed to leave. So while we don't have to struggle with identity here at First Pres, identity was a big issue for Jesus. The Pharisees, the scribes, others, even his disciples, even people who knew him really well, were often questioning him, and sometimes in depth, about who he was, where he came from. For the past several weeks, we've been exploring questions that are often asked of Christianity. And today, we continue that line of questioning by asking, is Jesus really God? Sometimes I want to say, God, are you really Jesus? But the question today is really, is Jesus God? It's certainly a question about identity, but I would offer to you this morning that it's also a question about life and a question about death. The Bible, especially the New Testament, is full of passages about Jesus's ID. In both the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Matthew, we have this encounter recorded when Jesus is on the road with his disciples. And Jesus says to him, who do they say? Meaning, you know, the people in the towns that they've been to, or people along the way. Jesus asks his disciples, who do they say that I am? They say, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, one of the prophets. Then Jesus asks the disciples, but who do you say I am? That question might come up again. Who do you say I am? Peter boldly answers, you are the Messiah. Peter got it right. But Jesus' response to Peter is a stern order to be quiet, to not say anything about his identity. But not today. Today we find Jesus loudly proclaiming his identity. It's in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Just to give you a little bit of context, what's happened, Jesus has just fed the 5,000, however many there were more than that, with just 2 fish and 3 loaves. He's walked on water. And a lot of the people that were part of that feeding of thousands of people have been following Jesus around, and they've been wanting Jesus to give them more signs to show, more signs to satisfy them before they will believe, before they will believe in him. I was thinking maybe Jesus was starting to get a little annoyed with all their demands. And maybe that's why he is so straightforward and clear when we meet him now in chapter 6 of the Gospel of John. This is the word of the Lord. They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose mother and father we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This," meaning himself, "this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." In answering the question, is Jesus really God? I think there are two main parts to that answer. First, where Jesus came from. And secondly, looking at what Jesus says and does. But it's what Jesus says about where he comes from that first raises suspicion. For they know Jesus to be the son of Joseph, and they know Jesus' mom, the young woman Mary. They have known the family for generations. They know the town where Mary and Joseph and Jesus lived, Nazareth. So imagine their reaction when Jesus tells them that he comes from heaven. How could he possibly say that? It's blasphemy. Only God can come from heaven. As Jesus often does when questioned about his identity, he leads with his relationship with God, God the Father. He begins his answer by assuring the crowd of his dependency on the Father, saying, "No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me." Where did Jesus come from? From heaven, sure. But really, Jesus is saying he came from the Father, not his father, Joseph, but God, the Father. And he adds, "I will raise that person that God sends him, I will raise him up on the last day." So Jesus is proclaiming his power to raise the dead, when all of those listening to him at the time knew only God could raise the dead. Then Jesus goes on and references the prophets who tell how the people who hear and learn the word of God come to believe in him, in Jesus. He says, "Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has ever seen the Father except for the one who is from God, who has seen the Father. He has seen the Father. Jesus is from the Father. He has seen the Father. He is one and the same as the Father." Now, throughout the New Testament, Jesus says that whoever has seen him has seen the Father. Now, none of us have seen Jesus face to face, but we can see him in the sense of knowing him, certainly through studying the Bible and through worship, through prayer, through mission trips and retreats, through volunteering and other spiritual practices and service. And in John 14, Jesus gives us these words: "If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Jesus affirms his identity by affirming his relationship with God, the Father. And then Jesus hopes to strike, I think, at the heart of humanity by making his identity even more tangible. He says, "I am the bread of life." The Word incarnate. Jesus is the Word incarnate, the Word in the flesh. Jesus sees himself, gives himself as living bread and living water. Remember Jesus assuring the woman at the well that he could give her living water, that he could give her water, that she didn't have to come to the well every day and laboriously draw out and laboriously carry back home. Now, we well-fed modern Westerners tend to forget that eating and drinking is a matter of life and death. But John's first readers would have needed no such reminder. And yet the point of this passage, I think, is that in any age, it is Jesus who is the giver of life and the redeemer of death. So let's move on and look at the second part of the answer. Jesus himself tells us that if we cannot believe in him because of where he came from, that is his relationship with God, the Father, we can believe in him because of what he does. In John 14, again, Jesus speaking, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. If you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves." In the story about the healing of the paralytic that Cherie read, the paralyzed man, Jesus' authority is again questioned by the religious leaders. Who is Jesus to say and do what he is saying and doing? For of course, in every age, there never seems to be a shortage of people claiming to be this or that. For anybody can and does say anything. But here is the crux of that. What we need to look at is what's the effect of what he or she says? What's the effect? How does what someone says line up with what he or she actually does or causes to be done? So we hear in the story of the paralytic that after some creative moves with a roof, the man that's paralyzed gets in front of Jesus. Jesus says to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But that doesn't set well with everyone. Where's the proof? How do we know that this man's sins are actually forgiven. But even before the skeptics and the critics in the crowd could say a word, Jesus knows and supposes what is on their mind, and we hear it. Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus answers their accusations with a question of his own. He says, which is easier? Which is easier? To say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk. Jesus goes on to show his healing of the man in no uncertain terms. He says to the paralyzed man, stand up, take your mat, and go home. And he did, just like that. In through the roof, on a mat, out through the front door, with his mat in hand, walking. And the crowd was amazed and glorified God, we are told, saying, we have never seen anything like this. But let's be clear. Let's be clear here. The healing Jesus performed that day actually was not in the paralyzed man getting up and walking. We could see that. The deep and true healing is that the man's sins were forgiven by God alone, by Jesus alone. By physically healing the man, Jesus showed the proof of the effect of what he said about the man's sins. He showed that what he said was true. And like all miracle stories, the story about healing the paralytic illustrates not just the restoration of one person's life, but the saving act of Jesus in the lives of all of us, of all people. Stand up, rise, points beyond the healing of this particular story to Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection, and his presence with us always. So this is not just about the events in Jesus' life. This is about a better way of living and dying for each of us, which takes us back to where we started, Jesus, the bread of life, that which sustains and gives life, the living, lasting bread that came down to earth so that all who believe would be saved. But one other thing. Jesus doesn't say and do what he says and does to prove he's God. No. Jesus says what he says and does what he does because he is God. His acts don't make him God, but because he is God, he can perform these acts. I think it's an important distinction. And finally, Jesus said, I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am He. So is Jesus really God? When he says to you, who do you say that I am? What will you say? My answer is simply this. Yes, I believe Jesus is God. For that is how he has and continues to reveal himself to me. May he do the same for all of you. Amen.